Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Here I Am, a podcast that embraces the changes of the world and within, bringing you back to who you really are. I'm Anna East, and thank you for being here too.
Hello, everybody. Hi, welcome to episode 7 of the Here I Am podcast. Oh my goodness, when that song was playing, it was so magical. This, I was just telling Anne before we started this, is that the sun is setting right now and it's like golden hour, but there's a light rain and almost kind of like a thunderstorm happening too. So there's some lightning occasionally, and through the golden light, like raindrops are falling into the pond that I'm looking at out my window. Great. Awesome. It's so nice. Such a good start to this podcast. So the music you just heard is called The Light by Chapters, which is spelled C-H-P-T-R-S. And I'll play the rest of the song at the end. So stay tuned for that. And each week I do choose new music to feature. So if you'd like to submit your own music to be featured in the podcast, I would love to hear it. This week I chose the song The Light because it resonated with me in two different ways. First, it was because of our topic today, which is about recreating our world. And second, it's also about my friendship with our guest, Ann Curtis. In the song, it says, "In the dark of the night, follow the light and come back home." And I know that we've been through a tough few months globally and collectively. And I wanted to ask you all, what's gotten you through it? For me, it's been good people and nature, like this light that's pouring through my window right now, and creativity too. To me, these things have been my light in the darkness. And it's a funny thought that nature, good people, and creativity are all free. I mean, like, we don't pay the sun to come up, it just does. And we don't pay to smile at someone, but oftentimes they smile back for free. We don't pay for our creativity to land on us. And settling down and having so much more time to reflect at home, I've been thinking a lot about what this time of lockdown has taught me and how it might change the future. And to tell you the truth, I've been so tired for so many years, whether I knew it or not, and I didn't allow myself the rest that I needed for so long. And finally, now that we're all forced to stay home and rest, I've got no choice but to allow it. And this time around, it's like I'm actually so grateful for the lack of guilt that is placed on us right now for resting. And in that resting, we're able to do a lot of that reflection. But now that the world is starting to resume and things are starting to open up again and people are starting to go out and do things again, I find myself actually going, wait, I'm not sure if I'm ready for the pressure, myself to the bone, or to exhaust myself for the system, or to slip back into my consumerism habits, that kind of place a Band-Aid on my happiness instead of working to the root of it like I've been doing over the past few months. And maybe I don't always think out those thoughts fully of I don't want to get back into all this stuff, but the feelings certainly do rise within me whenever I think about going out and starting to do things again. So I felt that it would only be natural to talk about it with you all. And I've actually been looking into the topic, and I found an awesome resource through Culture Strike. And if you look on Instagram or anything, it's at Culture Strike. And in the recent guide for artists and activists, there is a little foreword by Fabiana Rodriguez from the Center for Cultural Power. And she writes, "We are in an unprecedented moment of tectonic culture shift, a moment of extreme hardship, but also infinite possibility." And that's what I want to talk about with you all tonight. And I couldn't do it by myself, so I brought on my dear friend Anne to talk about it with us all together. And she's got some really cool perspectives. But before I fully introduce who she is, make sure you grab yourself a cup of tea and settle in. And I want to tell you a little message from our sponsors. So I want to thank Be Unique Magazine for sponsoring this podcast. It's an incredible magazine that I have both written for and volunteered with to bring grounding, inspiring, and world-changing ideas to readers all over the world for free. So visit BUNEKE.org to find out more. So, okay, the other lyric in the song of this episode, I should say, it says, "If I lose my way, I know it will find you." And that was the prime reason I chose it. If I lose my way, I know it will find you. Because so many times, my dear friend Anne has helped me to find my way back to who I really am. She's helped me when I've literally been too sick to stand, brokenhearted, or totally broke with hardly any money to my name. Anne and I first met when we became roommates in Atlanta in 2017. And from there, we've just experienced so much, including when she flew to Alaska last summer to visit me and explore one of the most beautiful places I've ever known. Anne helps little ones grow and learn every day as a fantastic nanny and has a knack for seeing the best in people and then letting them know that that's what's inside of them. She's a coffee connoisseur, an excellent cat parent, a free soul, and one of the best friends I've ever had. So, without further ado, here is Anne Curtis. Hey, Anne.
I didn't know all of that goodness was coming. You're so kind to me.
I wanted to keep the surprise.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for being here.
Oh, and we should warn everybody, I'm in the middle of like a coughing fit, but I am drinking warm water with honey and tea. Thanks so much. I'm holding it back. So anyway, Anna, thank you so much. That was like the sweetest, kindest thing. And the whole time I'm thinking, like I think of myself as a very basic person. And then you take that basicness and just like bring it to a whole new level. I think it's like a good reflection to be talking about right now, or me to even just be experiencing this right now, because we are going to be talking a little bit about lockdown or our lives over the last couple months and moving forward. And I was just thinking that I hope everybody can just, even though this is a really hard time, to appreciate the hard times, because all of us are being like in some ways, like just forced to focus on the simple things and finding joy in the simple things. And I think that you just made, I get it now. I get you know, like I get why you and I are having this conversation, because simple things are really important. Talking to kids are important. Cats are important. You just told the world or whoever is listening that I'm a pet parent. Just simple things are really important. So thank you. And also, thank you for being like the bestest friend ever. And I feel like you do the same thing to me. Oh my goodness.
Oh, that's why I like having you with me. Well, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you that landed with you. But I was just talking about because I really like, I've been finding a lot of silver lining in this whole thing. And granted, we're all processing this differently, but it's given me so many lessons that I didn't expect to be coming. And it's been sometimes hard lessons, but I'm just so grateful Like, and honestly, like, it's kind of like, as the world resumes again, I'm like, there's certain times where I'm like, oh my gosh, well, wait, but I kind of like the fact that we have to embrace the simple things. I kind of like that I'm getting to know my neighbors, you know,
yes.
Like that kind of stuff. So, yeah, so I've been really thinking about it, and I was like, I really want to just have a conversation. It doesn't have to be like insanely passionate like we had talked about. It's just like, I just want to explore what we really have been feeling and talk about it from there, and also dream up it, like, what is the most expansive world that we can live in? Like, might as well go there, might as well figure out and like start to think about the most expansive ways that we can change things, and like, yeah, let ourselves dream that big. Let ourselves go there and start talking about it. And in a way that, you know, it's not just us that are talking about this. Anybody that listens to this podcast, like, it's up to all of us. And you guys are listening to us talk. And hopefully, too, just so you, all the people that are listening in right now, you can call in and join the conversation at the number 516-418-5651. It should be on your screen. Please do call in later on and let us know if you have thoughts on this too. But we haven't even gotten too much into the conversation yet. But yeah, Anne, I'm very glad you're here, and I'm glad that you are resonating with this. And yes, you are a fantastic pet parent. I think that you're like one of the best cat parents I actually have ever met. In the way that, like, you have raised your cat so well, and she's like, she's just so loved and so supported, and like, I don't know, she's doing great things, and people are asking you how you've raised your cat, because I think you kind of did it intuitively, but you did it really well.
I did do it intuitively, and I think, like, actually let's talk about this intuitive thing, because while you were opening, I was also thinking, one of the things that I appreciate so much about you, and I mean, you brought up like our friendship. So I'm just going to explain to everybody something, that I think is really beautiful, about us is, you and I are very different people.
Mm-hmm.
We're very similar, but we're very different. And some of our differences is like, I'm not going to say that three-letter word that starts with an A and ends with a G-E, but we are at very different places in our lives, and even though we're at different places in our lives, one of the unique things about you that I haven't experienced with any other friendship is it's almost like we're going through the same things at the same time. And we've been friends for, has it been 5 years?
Not five, three, four, maybe four.
No, we'll say four.
Yeah, just about four now.
Okay,
yeah.
So we've been friends for 4 years. And during
feels
the
like
4 years.
Longer.
Yes, it's like, yes. But during that time, it's almost like we're going through similar things at the same time. So, with the intuitiveness, or even going through similar things at the same time, we talked a little bit before we started, and you said, hey, I'm feeling kind of calm, and this is, you know, all your feelings, and I'm, like, looking down at my table, and I have my warm, comfy food with my warm tea. I didn't drink any coffee, so I could be calm and relaxed and not what some people are used to, my booming, very loud self.
And I love that part of you.
it does have its place. But I just think, like, it's another example of our friendship, like, just being able to connect because we're going through the same things. And then today it's like, oh, we're going through the same thing. Literally, like, both of us are very calm and enjoying even like the sunset outside or the storms that are happening. Like, I've been looking at the sky all day today. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're my friend. You're my
love
friend,
it.
Girl.
I love it. We're in sync with each other for sure. It's funny because we'll both be kind of like out of sync, or we'll both communicate like, hey, I know I'm being weird and distant right now, but this is just a thing. And we're both like, yeah, I get it. It's cool. Like, I am too.
Yeah, I've not messaged because I am too.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so funny. So what has your situation been like for this whole time? Like, what have you, are you living with people? Are you not? Like, kind of let's let whoever's listening, like, kind of know where we're both at.
Sure. So for me, I have, well, first let's just set the stage with, I'm a people person. I will talk to anybody who will let me talk to them, like, for
so
as
true.
Long as they will let me talk to them. And oftentimes with people that I'm close to, I will maybe give them a phone call and say, how much time do you have? Like, what's my time limit? And it's not even like, it's not disrespectful or rude or anything. It's just that I will keep talking. And so with that said, my experience has been, my employers were both able to work from home. And so they also asked me to basically like do a serious quarantine. And we came up with what quarantine looked like for us. So it was like, I stayed in my yard, you know, in my house, in my yard for almost 2 months. I had all of my like groceries delivered to me. If I needed something, then I would have like a dirty day or something. I forget what it's called, but like say on Monday morning or something when no one would be at a store when it first opened, like I would hurry and go in and be out in like hopefully less than 5 minutes because I talk to everybody in store, so I know exactly where everything is and whatnot. And so for me, for 2 months, like it was my apartment,
right?
You know, just like phone calls, of course, or FaceTimes and things like that. But it was my apartment. So for me, it was a drastic change because I was able to basically isolate myself physically from the world. That's been me. And slowly over the last couple weeks, over the last month, I've been able to go back to work. I had a 2-week time period where we tested out all the family that I work for. I'm a nanny. The family that I work for, we all went through a 2-week quarantine together, and then they slowly introduced me back into working for them. They were going a little bit bananas with their kids, trying to work from home and raising their kids too. It didn't work out so well. They said they drink a lot of bourbon. And so
they've got 2 toddlers, by the way, everyone.
Yes. A 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, they're 1 week or 1 year and 10 days apart. So they were going a little crazy. So I swooped in gradually, progressively. I started working more hours. And last week was my first full week back to work. And so now that things are starting to open up a little bit, we are still really cautious and we kind of have like these social bubbles. And so it just kind of like who we bring into our physical interaction sort of circle is based on what they're choosing for their lives as well. And it's just the thought of keeping other people safe, keeping us safe as well, but just trying to respect other people. And the more we learn about the virus, you know, I think at least for me, the safer that I feel. Did you experience any anxiety around groups of people after being separated from people?
Yeah. I would say like my first experience that I remember was like, well, I mean, okay. So as this is happening, so I've kind of like been experiencing this since about January.
Yeah. Can you tell everybody like where you've been?
Yeah. So I was working in Japan, from like last October, and then my contract was set to finish, which it did, March 22nd. So from about January, that's kind of when we started getting a bit more concerned over in Japan because it was, you know, the kind of, I mean, really, it's spread internationally very quickly. But yeah, so we kind of became concerned. Work changes were being made, starting to be made in January. We stopped having interaction one-on-one with people at work that were guests or that were people coming into that were not actually part of the company. They started not having large groups, that sort of thing. And then come March, I want to say within March, I was working for Disney and they shut down Disney. They closed it all down in Tokyo. And so I had that time to basically just be at my apartment. And at that point, I don't know if it was actually, I think when I was still there, that's when it was first declared a state of emergency. But it was like still kind of in the midst of, you know, people were being careful and cautious and there was a lot less people out and about, but people were still going to parks. People were still going to grocery stores and getting haircuts and things like that. But then I think when they closed down Disney and stuff, that's when it started getting more serious. That's when a lot of companies were actually closing their doors and shutting things down. So it really did happen actually very closely to at least what my parents were talking about that was happening here in Florida. So that kind of all happened. And that was kind of – it was interesting because a lot of my coworkers, we all lived in the same apartment complex. So I didn't feel totally alone because I could kind of be around those people because we're all like, well, we're all just going to the grocery store and that's all we're doing right now. It's all we're allowed to do. So we're okay, you know. So we pretty much just had like a core group of people kind of grouped up and found like their core group of like 3 to 4 people that they would hang out with during that time. And then in the middle of all that, I still had to move. So I still had to like pack up my apartment and figure it out and go do all the legal stuff I had to do. Like, thank goodness I did most of my legal obligations before everything shut down. I'm so grateful I did that like way in advance. But
Did you have to go to banks or what does
what banks
that
and like
look
city
like?
Hall?
Tell us,
Tell
us for the people who are not like well traveled.
Yeah, it basically meant I was tying up loose ends of me being a resident there. So yeah, I had to go to the bank, I had to go to city hall, I had to cancel any memberships that I had, like all that kind of stuff. And a lot of stuff there I couldn't do necessarily online because the like apps or websites and stuff were like mostly in Japanese. And so I'd either have to have a friend help me or I'd have to do it, you know, through a Google Translate sort of situation. And so, yeah, so it's better to just go in person, a translator. But anyway, so all that was happening and I got here and when I was really, my whole family was really afraid for me to come because I was traveling internationally. With a lot of people from Asia, which at that point it was like people were saying, oh, it's mostly in Asia and it hadn't like spread entirely, you know, elsewhere, but at least that was the common thought. I felt a little differently, but that was kind of, it was like.
You also made a stop in California too, correct?
Actually in Atlanta. My stopover was only like 2 hours, but
okay.
Yeah, I stopped over in Atlanta, the whole experience was very strange, because at that point there was a lot of fear in the air, like so much fear. I think it's definitely everyone's kind of relaxed a bit since then, far as like their energy towards other people. But at that point, it was like everybody that you looked at, you know, you were afraid of. So that was a really odd. But the airline did a really really good job of, you know, keeping us all distant from each other and also being really kind. And like they would like offer free candies and things like that just to kind of like lighten the mood and just say like, we're all trying here, you know? And the flight attendants were all being very kind. So that was really good. But yeah, so when that happened and my dad, he's, you know, he's in his 60s and he has a pre-existing health condition that's pretty serious. So I had to basically quarantine myself in. I was actually staying initially in my parents. They had just bought a trailer before all this went down. So I was staying in the trailer.
I did not know this.
Yeah, but it didn't last very long because I was also during all this was trying to finish off my my finals were coming up, and I had no Wi-Fi access in the trailer, so I had to move into the back bedroom. And my mom would basically serve me all the meals because like, we weren't touching anything. And it was like this whole thing.
Like fly
of,
you
just in case.
Through the door.
Yeah, it was basically that. Like she would just knock and like hand me the plate, you know. And so, yeah, and I spent a lot of time in my room and in my backyard. But you know what? Even though that was really, really tough and I was really glad when all that was over, those 2 weeks felt so long.
So that was when I kind of started noticing
stuff.
You really did a 14-day quarantine, like in a trailer or in a bedroom.
Yeah.
Wow. Good job, you. Yeah. And can you talk about, you got a text from like the CDC?
Oh, yes. Did I tell you about that?
You did. So I just thought that was, we should talk about it. No. I mean,
okay, so they must have known. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know, honestly, how they know, but they know things, I suppose. They sent me a text basically saying, I can't remember what it was exactly, but basically just about if you have been traveling internationally over the last 2 weeks, which what I had been, they said to, and you have any symptoms at all, to go get tested. And I didn't, luckily I had no symptoms during that time. So I didn't get tested.
So wonderful.
But yeah, I'm very grateful for that, you know. And I mean, yeah, it's like you do what you can, and I'm very grateful that nothing happened to my dad. And that's, I still have to be really careful because I am still living with them. You have to be really careful around groups of people. But yeah, so then after all of that, I think it was my first few walks outside of the house. When I would see neighbors and my neighbors smiled at me, I think it was my neighbors smiling at me and saying hi, almost like made me cry because I was just like so grateful for a kind human. And I remember the first time my mom and I got takeout somewhere, we interacted with the guy who gave us our food, you know, from a distance and everything, but we just talked, he was poked his head out of the door and we were talking to him and he was smiling and being kind and just like, his quick kindness, I was like, that felt so good.
felt
so good, you know. So with this conversation, like my next question for you is like, what has become most important to you over the last couple months? What's appeared to you to be like really important?
Sure. So a lot of what I did to help myself stay sane is I spent a lot of time in my backyard. Maybe so many people have connected with their yards this year.
I think so.
So in spending a lot of time in my backyard, I've listened to a lot of podcasts and they have not been pleasant podcasts. A lot of them are talking about the history of the city of Atlanta and just like surrounding towns and things. And they've been talking about injustice and racism and whatnot. I hadn't thought of myself as a political person in the past. And slowly over, you know, the last 4 years, of course, I've become more knowledgeable, but I feel like having so much poured into me through podcasts and other things, I just felt like you've had a moment like this before. I just felt like I know that I'm not alone, and I know that I have a support system, and I know that I have a team, but I feel like slowly over the last couple years, I've been wanting to be my own boss, and how over the last couple years that has been the same, but it's looked differently. And so, I was interested in doing last year was real estate, and so I started online courses for real estate because I felt like there's an aspect of justice and injustice that I don't really know about. And it is, I'm already doing like certain things in real estate without being in real estate, as far as being like an Airbnb host and an Airbnb co-host. I basically am a property manager where I'm living. It's just not official. So I have all these things that are not official. And here I am in the backyard taking care of like the property of, you know, just doing like management things and thinking about justice things. And I think like for me, this was a time where it was just something that I thought, how am I going to, like, I know I have a support system, I know I have a team, but I'm with people, but I'm also like alone as well. And so like, how am I going to support myself? And how am I going to support myself, like doing the things that I love, as far as like talking to people and being creative and using the tools that I've collected over the years. And so for me, this time was like, now is the time to go to school because I have all this time to go to school. And so for me, that's what I've been doing during this pause in the world.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've been kind of like gathering information and being, I guess, fueled then, like, to figure, I guess, and we had talked about this before, I feel like you're piecing together parts of who you are to do something. And you maybe had said this yourself just now. Like, you're piecing together different parts of who you are to then go forward and do it in a way that you can actually help the people that you want to help. You know?
Right. And so some of my dreams are, I'm always wanting to help creatives. Like, I'm not personally hosting Airbnb right now, but I have a room. And so the room has been help. I've used that room or even my apartment to help other creatives or artists. Last year, someone stayed with me for 3 months. And this year, somebody stayed with me for almost 2 months. And it's just like, I'm the helper. And I feel like the things that I'm doing are limited in how I can help, because I'm always under someone else.
Right.
And so, and so what I think that you went through is, a while ago, you thought, why am I acting? I'm doing other people's dreams. But if I start doing film, then I can do my dreams. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm doing all the things that I'm doing. Like, I'm co-hosting Airbnb. I'm running this property that I live in. And I am able to help creatives right now. Instead of helping people, I'm helping cats.
So you're still helping, you know? Yeah. It's like, I had a realization earlier today of like, without going into the whole story, I want to help people, right? And I was like, if I have a price for a service of mine, not everyone can afford it, so how can I help everyone? And I was like, okay, well, I can give a service for free to certain people, but then I can also help the people that can pay, because the people that are able to pay this for the service still need help. So you're helping those artists that still need help in the meantime. I just want to say that.
Yes.
So you still are making a difference.
Yes. But I feel like I could do so much more if I could just be completely independent. And so I'm thinking, if I can pass this exam for real estate, I will gain more of a knowledge. One of the things, more of a knowledge in this area. Hopefully, I could make enough money to actually buy a house. I mean, I've never even been in the financial position of considering buying. I've only been able to rent, or, I mean, you know me, and I have a hustle. So I always come up with or fall into these unique living situations. But like, if I could just own my own property, if I could learn, I know there's a, I don't know fully, but in the city of Atlanta, I've heard that like Atlanta has one of the maybe like top five or top 10 worst landlords in the, like in the country. And so I feel like I just want, I'm always about community. I'm always about people. And so I just want to provide and I just want to help people. And so like, if I had my own property, I could Airbnb, I could like have a two level where people could like live rent free for like a couple months. I just got a text message the other day from someone I don't even know, but it was like, hey, you know, I got your phone number from this person who knows this person. And they said that you have this Airbnb available. A tree fell on an elderly lady's house and her daughter is in quarantine with her. It's like over a $30,000 fix. Can they stay with you for a few months? And I mean, right now, you know, I had to say no because of my situation. But like, I just want to help people. And so moving forward, helping people is becoming fully my own boss. Wow. So I'm not limited by my Airbnb partner, by my landlord, by, you know, all the things.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love, and I really love this. I love that you're coming like to this realization, these ideas, and because it really, that's amazing. If like, for instance, like, you know, in the future when you are able to open up your home to whoever you choose, you know, instead of it being, you know, somebody else's decision, it's your decision fully. What you'll be able to do to help people. I'm actually watching with my mom right now on Netflix. If anybody is interested in something that's different and really cool to watch and inspiring, we've been watching The Kindness Diaries, And I don't know if you've heard of it, but this man basically goes on a road trip in a 1970s yellow convertible bug.
I watched like two episodes. It is really good. It's unbelievable.
And he's basically going from Alaska to Argentina with no money and literally just relying on kindness from strangers. And it's like he has to ask for a place to sleep every night. He has to ask for gas, for food, everything.
Isn't the like first episode or so he's like driving this bug and it has no heat and this is Alaska, so like basically if he doesn't find a place to live, he's gonna freeze to death. Just dead.
It's like literally that is the determination. I mean, but he's finding beautiful people and I think it's really good for me to watch that because, you know, I would hope that I would let somebody stay with me, but we're protective. We're like, oh, you know, I don't want you to kill me or something or rob me. But like based on the energy and stuff of the person who's asking, it's just like, how amazing is it if you can help other people? And I just, oh, it just, it's so good. Like, I feel like it's going to really fuel ideas for me. Actually, it already has. You know what? It already did. It gave me an idea of something that he encountered for one of my screenplays.
Talk about it, because that's like one of my questions, Anna. One of my questions to you has to do with, you just said screenplay. So tell us about your screenplay. Talk about that.
Well, it's the New Orleans one, actually, that I was telling you about.
Oh, good, because the question was talk about your book, which is your screenplay, I guess.
Yes. So for people that don't know, I wrote a screenplay back in 2014 about a young woman in the 19 teens, so maybe 1915-ish area, who is in the Deep South, and she is basically born out of her parents, had her out of a marriage. So, you know, at that point, that was not a good thing for her sake and her welfare. And so she's basically kind of like cast aside in society. And she finds some inspiration and hope through a little jazz, or not jazz, but the musicians that come up from New Orleans. So through a little like basically concert in a tent in this little tiny town she lives in. She kind of gets starry-eyed for one of the musicians and learns where he's from, and she just thinks, well, that's my chance. Like, they all look different. They're all very, you know, kind of. Then she follows him down to New Orleans, following a man, but in the course of not actually finding him, or maybe she does at the end, we're not sure yet, you all know yet. She ends up really experiencing a lot about herself instead, and finding herself, and through the trials and tribulations of a wild, rough city that's very different from her small town, but also a magical city. So it's kind of like that whole thing. And I had the idea, I've been trying to think of different experiences for her to have that would help her develop different things. And also, this is a fun fact for everyone that's listening, like, the time period that I'm talking about is right when the early, early jazz musicians of that time were just starting to create the genre of jazz. So for any jazz lovers out there, it's like, basically, she'll be interacting with historical figures, too. I was just going to say, like, in the Kindness Diaries, he has an experience in Canada with a man who helped him out by – the man basically opens up his home every single Wednesday to anybody who wants to come. And a lot of the people that come are actually refugees just because he gives free food every single Wednesday. And anybody's welcome. It doesn't matter where you're from, who you are, what you've done. Like, you are welcome there to come and eat and get a good meal and to, you know, be around community. And so – the guy who's the main host of the person on the adventure, the journey in the Kindness Diaries, he goes. And you can just tell how much every single person there is impacted by the love that's in that house every Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he basically was just overwhelmed himself of just like he was just saying that, you know, he didn't grow up with a lot of community in his life, and he's like, and it's something he'd really been lacking for a long time. And he got to, like, brought him to tears of, like, a community is so important, and like having that, just the thing that brought them all together was just that they all needed kind of someone to love and someone to support and someone to support them and that sort of thing. So I was thinking about having an experience for her like that when she gets down. One of her experiences is to experience somebody in that community that's opened their house up. And, you know, maybe she at that point doesn't have any money. We don't know, you know, well, I'm not sure yet, but maybe that's an experience of hers.
I lived in New Orleans for 7 months. Mm-hmm. And everything that you're talking about is definitely there. I mean, I can't speak for the time period that is being written about. But for me, when I was there, I was, I just think that this is a beautiful thing. Like, I am something, but I present white, and I was living in an all black neighborhood, Holly Grove. At least when I was living there, there were like 3 white people that were actually living there. And I would walk around on the street. The roommates that I was living with, I was doing a project at the time. So the roommates that I was living with, we would go for morning and night walks in the neighborhood, and we would get to know people. We were working on, we had to do like 3 justice projects. One was with a church. One was with a church that was doing a justice project in the neighborhood, an organization that was non-religious doing a justice project in the neighborhood. And then we, as a team, had to do a justice project in the neighborhood. And so we would walk around and we would get to know everybody. In those walks, like in the beginning, when people didn't know who we were, they would invite us into their house. So like, I had been to a lot of other places. I used to move around a lot, even if it was just moving around, like within the same city or the same state, I used to move around a lot. And I didn't ever go for walks in a neighborhood and have somebody say, hey, we're coming
invite
here.
You
want to come in? You know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Who invites strangers off the street into their house?
I know.
New Orleans. I was walking like somewhere just outside the main part of the city, and some guys came out, which I, like, looking back, this was not safe, so I'm glad that it turned out to be a good situation. But two guys came out and they said, oh yeah, we're building an addition on our garden. Do you want to come in and see? And so we did. And it was like, in New Orleans, everything is celebrated, you know, like your history. We were invited into people's houses because they wanted to share who they were. They wanted to share their family's like recipes. They're not going to tell you the secret ingredients, but they wanted to share their
life. They want to share
life. And just be in community, with everybody. And so, like, I'm really looking forward to, like, how this screenplay pans out in the future with you. And just, like, I think, like, this character is really near and dear to your heart. And I think you're along on the journey, too. And so I look forward to you experiencing that New Orleans welcome and love. You know, people talk about Southern hospitality, and I don't know about Southern hospitality in Atlanta. I live in Atlanta right now, and I just think New Orleans has all the Southern hospitality.
I can't, I can't wait to spend some time there, and like we've always talked about, and really get to know the history and the community, and just kind of as best I can really immerse myself to write the best in the best way that I can. I don't know. It's like one of those things that just, I felt pulled to do this for so long, and I still feel pulled 6 years later to finish it. Like, and I never stopped feeling pulled. I just never had a chance to go do the research.
And so this kind of ties into your question to me, like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is taking everything that I'm doing already, but just bringing it to the next level of being separate, or just being my own boss more fully. Because, I mean, I'm always, like, in the middle of being my own boss. But for you, this story has been on pause. It's been there. It's always with you. The story has been on pause. And then over the last couple months, it's like really hit you hard again, correct?
Yeah, it has. And I felt like this is another thing that I was really grateful for about this lockdown, is that it let me finish things so that I can clear off some of my list of things I need to get done creatively, of like projects I never finished, so that I can start working on this kind of stuff again. Because I always felt guilty about working on it when I had other things that were more I don't know, had more of a time stamp on them that I need to get them done at. I'm grateful for it. And, you know, what's interesting too, like that we're talking about this, is that I really wanted to use this conversation too, to like, see, you really summed it up well of what you would like to be putting your effort and your energy into in the future, where you want to see your world change, is something through what you can literally do by the work that you're doing and how you are opening your home and welcoming in kind, like, strangers with your own kindness, or however it is that you're able to do what you do to help people, like with your place, with basically literally helping people find their home. It's like, that's amazing. And I think for me, I've been trying to just kind of like, I want to start talking about this. Like, I want to start asking people and talking to people about what can we do differently. Like, I think so many of us, I've watched so many of my neighbors, like, I've never seen them outside before. And now I see them out and about all the time. And like, they're connecting with each other. And I think they're connecting with nature. They're having so much more time to just be outside and to notice things they never noticed before, and to, you know, connect with each other and stuff. And I really feel like the themes of the natural world, of helping people and being with people and connecting with people, are really coming through as like really strong lessons for everyone right now. And I said this on a Facebook post, but I said this to you too, Anne, but for the listeners that are listening now, I saw something on Instagram, and I can't remember who had posted it. I wish I could. But it said, in the rush to get back into things, be careful what you choose to rush back into. So it's like, you know, as we want to get back to life, like, well, what actually should we get back to? What shouldn't we get back to? You know, there's certain things where I'm rushing to get back to be around my dear friends and to be in a yoga studio that like is like the you know, the self-care that I need is that time to move my body and to settle my brain for a minute. You know, like that's something that I can't wait to get back to that. I can't wait to connect with my friends. I can't wait to drive to some mountains so I can get a good hike in. Like that's, you know, my sort of things. But also part of me too is like, I really, really want to figure out ways that I can help people connect with nature more. I'm like, I want to help people connect with each other more. Like I don't know exactly how it's all going to come to fruition. Maybe, you know, for this instance, I've been hoping to create some sort of community through this podcast. But it's like, I know there's so much more that I can do. And so also, if anybody's listening again, please do call in. I would love to hear any ideas or anything that you guys have been feeling while going through this whole lockdown. Is there anything that's landed with you during this time of like, I really think that the world could use more of this? And while we can't just fix the whole world with a magic wand necessarily, we can start, you know, with what we're strong with, like how Anne is a great helper of people, you know. And I'm still figuring out how I'm going to do what I want to do, but I know that my common thread through it is all, you know, connecting with people and, you know, I don't know, helping them accept themselves or how, I'm not entirely sure. I know I got to help nature regardless of what I do, but.
Oh, you but yeah. do. And, you know, there's something that I think you're leaving out, and I'm wondering if it's because it's like so much a part of your life. But your Instagram is really inspiring. I mean, your film and the projects that you do, because they're coming from your perspective and because I think like you're amazing. I think like your films that you've been working on or just even learning how to do over the last like year or two are really inspiring, but your Instagram is really helpful. I think your Instagram,
really?
Your Instagram is helping people be free to be themselves. Like, I think just how you regularly post your dancing, like your dance, and just encouraging people to fully be themselves. Or like you'll take one of the things that I appreciate too is I can get very heated up about conversations or topics that drive me crazy, and I think you take those same things and you bring a positive perspective to this really horrible thing that's happening, and I think like even in regards to nature, so I think Instagram, like you really are an influencer, and I guess my perspective is whenever I come to your Instagram, it's like, this is a safe place. I can freely be all of me.
Really?
That
makes me feel so good. Oh, that's what I'm hoping.
For your film work, I feel like your film work is more of a, this is an awareness. This thing is happening. Like, here are the negative things that are happening, and this could be the solution, and you give the solution. And even just the other day, you were telling me, Anne, let's focus on the solution. Let's focus on the solution. And so I think, you know, like, I think having someone in the world who is not just going to stay in one place, but is always thinking of encouraging other people to be free, creating a space where someone can come to you openly and feel safe to be whoever they are. And then on top of that, you close it up with, what's the solution here? Like,
you're already the next step forward.
Like, and you know, we even I think, like, you know, a lot of people are asking, like, what now or what's next? And what are we doing with our lives and things like that? And so something that I've been thinking about is, yes, I might be trying for a real estate license. And that potentially could help me be more of who I am, because it might help me be freed up from someone being my partner. I just want to fully be me. Like, maybe,
right.
Or this be like a path that gets me to another path that I just don't know about yet.
Yeah, but that's how I feel too about whatever I'm doing.
right. Because you and I are connected, right? Because we're so very different, but we're the same. So this is us going through the same thing. A part of something that I am also like really focusing on too is just a character. Like, I don't have some business, or I don't have like a social, I mean, I do have social media like sort of things, but I don't have like hundreds of thousands of people following me or whatever. So like in that way, I'm not an influencer. But what is really important to me and what I'm seeing is more significant than what I thought was significant in the past is just our character. So one of the things that you kind of talked about was that I'm a good pet parent, and I have a cat. A little bit of the history of the cat is I found her when she was 2 weeks old. She's a year old in May, so this is her birth month. But I don't know if you knew about this or not, but she found baby birds, like baby birds a couple months ago. And, she sat between two baby birds and meowed at me to come over and rescue them. So I popped my cat in the car. I popped the birds. I did a lot of messaging on the cat page to figure out what to do with birds. I like drove as fast as I could drive legally, and got these cats rescued. And like, what cat like sits and meows for their owner to come over and help these babies? Or I have, I have a foster
cat. She's so good.
Yeah, like, who is she? I have a foster cat, and this foster cat, the cat story is she was, like, born, like, probably in a dump area somewhere, and she lived in a dumped mattress for 10 months, and someone rescued her, had her in the house to help, like, socialize her so that she could be adopted, and this cat ended up at my house because the rescue foster person, their cat was bullying, Stevie is the foster cat that I have. Their cat was bullying Stevie. So, she comes over here, and Sugar is, she's not been nice to people, in her older age. And, so I've been very cautious about her. And she just has this new thing where she's been really sweet. And so I just, like, I keep looking at, she's taking care of this this foster cat. Like, the foster cat was super nervous. And within a week, Sugar, my cat, she, like, just befriended her. And now, this cat... Stevie, who is like terrified of the world because she grew up in a mattress and is just like only 2 months into knowing love or knowing human love or interaction. My cat befriends her, and Stevie follows Sugar around everywhere. They're like two peas in a pod now. And it's like, I just wish, or I'm seeing through my cat, I'm really trying not to be like one of the crazy cat people. And I don't have 5 or 10 cats. I just have one.
Well, at the same time, like, this is the stuff that we're noticing over the course of this. Like, you're talking about your cats. I could tell you later on about my backyard lizards, of how much I've learned from them.
Oh, so, like, I love it. Yes.
So please, yeah. What? Finish, yes. finish. Though you were on something good there.
She's just so kind, and she's like observant of like the wounds of other animals that she sees. And so, like, there's another indoor-outdoor cat that comes over. His name is Ninja. Their boyfriend and girlfriend, he came over tonight and gave her a smooch. She sees the needs that he has as well. And she, like, you know, she's just so kind to him. She didn't eat the birds. Like, she chases birds, but she doesn't eat them. She chases squirrels, but she doesn't eat them. You know, she's been super sweet to this foster cat, like, in ways that I can't even connect with Stevie, like Sugar connects with Stevie.
Yeah.
And so I just think, like, for me, like, moving forward, I just want to be ultra aware of how I treat other people. And so another story, just very quickly, is I'm not going to tell the story. I already told you.
Okay.
The world doesn't need to know. But it's just really important that that my character is just being good and kind and loving to people is just as important as, you know, like doing the bigger things of.
Yeah.
It's
so true. And you know what? How many people you're going to impact. We're all, like, I mean, yourself, myself, you're inspiring me even more so, like, just to really be conscious of it and how much your kindness every single day is going to influence those other people to say, wow, that lady was really kind to me at that, like, that time. Like, and they'll want to pay it forward. It's like that whole thing.
Like, when you went out for a walk, you talked about that smile and how it meant so...
so much to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we do anything else, I have one more question for you. But
okay.
I am going to play one more message from our sponsors, and then I'm going to ask you one final question.
Okay. I have a question for you, too.
Oh. Okay, we can do both. We can do both.
Yeah.
All right, here it goes.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
All right, Miss Anne.
Yes.
Okay, so this is my question for you, and then you can ask me your question.
Okay.
In 2 to 3 sentences.
Ah, good job, you.
Mm-hmm. What do you see happening in the world of your dreams?
There is a long pause there. I'm just
it's okay. I was letting it be there. We can all be a little more comfortable with silence, can't we? Even though this is a podcast.
Just like what's on my heart right now, and I just want to be fully me more than I've ever been fully me before. And so, like, what my future is I just want to be free to be fully me.
Wow. Yes. And that, and then from there, like, imagine the possibilities.
Right. And so, like, now to expand on that is, I just think that I need to have more tools than I have right now in order to get myself or position myself into being more fully me.
Well, but you are doing it. You're gathering those tools right now. That's the cool thing.
I'm trying. I'm working.
You really are.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Okay. What's your question for me?
Yeah. Anna, do you, Anna, do you see yourself as a healer?
Yeah.
I know. Yes. I knew. I wanted to ask you this because I really, for me, I'm kind of like, Anna, I'm bringing something to you. You need to sit on this for a while. I think I do need to sit on that for a while. Yeah. Do you see yourself as a healer?
I think, yes. Okay. Now that I think about it, yes. And the funny thing is that I've always thought about it in a future tense of like, I will help people and heal people to feel free within themselves, to embrace themselves. Once I'm at this point in my life, but I've had a lot of people like over the years, like say the, like the different ways that I'm going to help people, heal people through, what if it's music or art or, you know, talk, the conversation, that sort of thing. But I think I have to think about that. And I want to say yes, but I don't fully, I can't say, oh, yes, I am a healer, you know, just yet. But I think that I'm becoming one.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I have been, but in a way that's not typical.
Right.
You know what I mean?
In a way that's not typical. Tell me about that, Anna. How does that relate to other things that you're going through right now in a way that is not typical? I know why you're laughing.
Are you laughing because it's what I told you the other day?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay, all right. And I'll tell you quickly because we do need to wrap things up soon. But quickly, there's two things that come up. My young me, my me until now, today, till my like through my life of not realizing that I'm healing people, but I am, is perhaps my blind spots where I don't even see that I'm doing this, but the way of, I've always really, really, really felt like if there's somebody in the room that isn't being listened to or paid attention to, like I want to talk to them and ask them questions and like help them feel more comfortable. And there's that. And then I think there's also in the way of that, like I'm learning right now to express and not feel bad about the joy that I have and to help people hopefully with that joy, maybe just brightening their day or however I can. And then the other thing that, I was laughing is because we talked about how the typical way that my work is done with filmmaking and whatever I do, it's very like demanding and it's exhausting and it's work until you fall over sort of work. And I understand why it is that way because of so many factors for another conversation of why the industry is that way. But I'm like, I still want to connect with people. I still want to make an impact on people's lives. I still want to reach people with messages through whatever it is that I'm doing. But I love filmmaking and the art of it and the way it has the power to impact people. Just like those kindness diaries I was watching today.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I need to do it in a way that's authentic to me and that's not typical. And
yeah.
I think right now I'm building that. I'm figuring that out.
Yes. Yeah. So we're the same.
Yeah.
We're figuring it out.
Absolutely.
And
so, did you have another question?
No, it's not a question.
Okay.
I'm just going to remind you. I asked you, do you see yourself as a healer?
Yeah.
This is not the reminder, but I asked you, do you see yourself as a healer? Because when we talked to each other the other day, I was thinking, oh my word, Anna's a healer and she doesn't know it. And so I just want to remind you that when we first met, both of us were not in a good spot for whatever reasons. And this actually was a time where it was probably different reasons. But both of us were not in a good spot. And I was in a car accident. I was feeling like I had been in a car accident. It was the first time I had a major physical injury that was causing me to have to live life a little bit differently. And I was really down about it. I was really down about finances. I was really down about like work. I was down about like a lot of different aspects in my life that were kind of connected and not connected. And you always gave yourself to me, even if it was just listening. Like, I remember I asked you if you would just be in the car with me, and you did homework while I ran around and did whatever I needed to do or whatever. And there are so many times during that first year we were friends that you were just there for even just like little things and even just sharing life together. And you mentioned that you can see yourself as a healer eventually. And I just want to put out there that you don't have to be healed. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be like on top of healed or like perfect. You were in a uncomfortable place and I was in an uncomfortable place and you still healed me just by being you, you know? And so I've always thought of you as a healer to me because of everything that you give to me, even when you think you're not giving.
Oh, thank you, Anne.
That's what I have to say. And I just think it's important. Like, I can still help people right now in the ways that I can help people. And you can help people right now in the ways that, like, you're able to help people. Like, well, yes, let's have a goal and an end goal. But also we can be living our dreams, like, right now, too.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Embodying that now. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Someone I listen to a lot says taking messy action.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. But thank you for showing that mirror to me, because I hadn't thought about it that way, and that's something I'm really gonna hold onto and think about and marinate in. Yeah. Thank you, Anne.
Yes.
So I think it's about time that we wrap everything up.
Yeah.
But everybody that's listening, if you would like to get in touch with Anne and how you've heard her, she's awesome. She's an incredible force. And the best way to get in touch with her and to follow her journey and to connect with her is through her Instagram, which is at Emerging Simplicity. You can also got my social media and Be Unique social media if you would like to connect with either of us too. Next week I have a really cool guest as well.
Woo-hoo.
It is a historian, a gardener, and a lover of humanity. He's a new but awesome friend of mine. His name is Gene Albertson. And we're going to be talking about the importance of multi-generational living and community. So I actually thought that was really interesting. Multi-generational living. It's a big chunk. And then most importantly, community, which that's the main topic for next week. And I'm really excited to talk with Jean about it. And on Thursday night, if you've got Thursday night free, you're looking for something interesting to listen into, Unscripted with Mary Brotherton is also on Be Unique Radio at 9 p.m. Also very, very interesting. Anne, thank you so much for this beautiful conversation. This went better than I could have even imagined it.
Always.
Oh, love you, gal. Thank you for everything. Everything I said at the beginning of this to introduce you is true. And like the next time we chat, I could just add more into it of how great you are.
The same. Oh, for the first time in my life, I felt like making those little heart things with your hands. You know, you put your fingertips together and you make a heart. I'm hearting you right now.
You did that. I'm hearting you back. I know I'm very pessimistic about like cutesy things sometimes. Because
right.
I had a Grinch heart that got kind of shrunk down, and
yes.
slowly growing in size. So I'm gonna
right.
send you a heart back with my fingers. And
yes.
to everybody listening tonight, I'm sending you a little heart.
Oh, me too. Hearts for everybody.
Hearts for everybody. Okay, so everybody, thank you so much for listening and supporting this podcast, creating community with me. Thank you for all your messages and all of your comments about the podcast. It means so much to me when you let me know how it's impacted you or if you've had any realizations, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I'm wishing everybody health. Enjoy this week. And please have a dance party for Anne and I
yes.
in your home, outside
dance
in your
party.
Backyard.
Oh, what's your favorite, very quickly, what's your favorite song to dance to right now?
Right now?
Today. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Or this week.
Well, let me look at my Spotify. Wait, give me like 2.2 seconds and I'm going to find the perfect song. I won't play it for you, obviously, but I'll play the other song at the end of this, the one that we need
okay.
to finish. Okay.
And just so
really
you know,
quickly.
I was introduced to my favorite song now by a 3-year-old, and it's Hozier. Is that how you say it? Hozier?
Yes.
Movement. Oh.
Ooh, I do love Movement. Yep.
Okay.
I would
What's
say,
your...
okay. All right. So let's see. Free Your Body. Now, I think this pops up, and I'm just going to say this one. I love mm-hmm. Champion of the World by Coldplay. It's on their new album, which is so different from all their other albums. It's so good. And Champion of the World is like such a great. Oh, wait, no, that's not even it. It's Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. I had a full on dance party in my kitchen with my mom yesterday to that song.
Yes.
So you all know it. It's Unwritten.
Yes.
it's nothing new, but it's so amazing and powerful.
So
okay,
good.
And with that, I'm going to play the rest of the song and say goodnight to everyone.
Good night,
Thank
everyone.
You.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. I'm so grateful. Good night.
In